Welcome to the new year, 2021. Hopefully it's going to be a better year for everybody. A better Krishna conscious year. Anyway, we'll start off by chanting Jai Radha Madhava. Hold on a second. Paramahansa Paravatakacharya, also Teta Satoshi Shima, His Divine Grace of Ayachalna, Rakhavaranda Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadham Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopadath Shaimakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrinda Ki Jai Maturam Kijai, Jagadathasami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Shimadigalasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Budhale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamin Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. So Omagana Timidanda Shaganan Janash Lakya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tosmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So before we begin our Chaitanya Charitamrita reading tonight, I'd just like to ask everybody to please pray for my dear godbrother, Jai Pataka Maharaj, who I just found out today got the COVID virus. And this is actually quite serious, much more serious than if I got it or if any of you got it, because he's recently had like two transplants and he's taking immunosuppressant drugs, which means that suppress the immune system so the body won't reject the transplants. And if one's immune system is, let's say, suppressed, that it represents a danger when you get any sort of bacteria or virus. So please, everybody, put in some special prayers for him. And, I mean, we're all concerned. This is, please all be careful, too. This virus is not something to take lightly. A number of people have died in our movement. And we want you all to be safe, but particularly today we want you to pray for His Holiness Jai Pataka Maharaj and his safety. And we can't afford to lose anybody else, especially someone who had so much contact with Srila Prabhupada and has much to give us. So, we'll go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. I also want to mention that devotees are not, most or many of the devotees are not serious enough about protecting themselves from the virus. You know, I even noticed today at our temple there was a big gathering, which I didn't go to. And, you know, people have to be very, very careful, at least for the next few months until more people have the vaccine. So people, you know, you can prevent getting the virus if you take precautions. Please take precautions. Know who you're around, know where they've been, and wear PPE, you know, personal protective equipment, like masks. And the only reason I am not wearing my mask in class is because none of you are here. You're all online, so you cannot infect me through the internet. Thank God. So, all right, so we will continue to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And actually, I thought I had picked, I had, yeah, I did have it picked out. I don't know why it's not showing. Hold on a second. It should show now. Give me 1 second. Okay, yeah, because I have too many windows open. There we go. All right, here we go. So we are right now on the fifth chapter of the Adi Lila, moving ahead. And this fifth chapter is about the advent of Lord Nityananda. And as we know, no one can make any spiritual advancement without having the mercy of Balaram. And Balaram, hoila nitai. Balaram is the same as Nityananda. Nityananda is the same as Balaram. And so Balaram and Nityananda are the original spiritual masters, and you cannot attain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya without getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Ha Premananda Suki. Ami Boro Duki. My dear Lord Nityananda, I am most unhappy, Narottama Das Thakur prays. Ami Boro Duki. More Suki. So please give me shelter at your lotus feet so I can become happy. Okay, so I will start, and anybody who wants to also read as we go along, please raise your hand in the participant window, not on your video window, because I will not see that. Okay. Vande nanta bhutaishvaryam chinichanandam ishvaram Yashetya tatsarupam anenapi nirupyate. Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulence is wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity. Wow. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Dvaitacharya, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eishat shloke kahila Krishna Chaitanya Mahima. Pancha shloke kahi Nityananda tatva simho. I have described the glory of Sri Krishna Chaitanya in six verses. Now in five verses, I shall describe the glories of Lord Nityananda. Sava avatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan. Tanhara dutiya deha Sri Balaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. A purport. Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead, and his first expansion is Sri Balaram. The personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potency are called Swamsha, and the forms that have limited potency, the living entities, are called Vivinasha. So Vivinasha means the Jiva souls, and Swamsha means Vishnu Tattva, expansions of Krishna. Eka isarupatone bina matrakaya ajakaya vyuha Krishna lilara sahaya. These two are one and the same identity, they differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. So Balaram is a Swamsha expansion of the Lord, and therefore there is no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is in their bodily structure. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms. And he is the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental activities. Quadruple forms means Vasudev, Sankarshan, Padyuna, and Aniruddha. Got it? And so he's the original Sankarshan. And in Govardhan, there's a kund called Sankarshan Kund, which is Balaram's kund, in which he put all the water that Indra was pouring upon Vrindavan to kill the residents of Vrindavan. That is all the water that wasn't dried up by the Sudarshan Chakra, which was on top of Govardhan Hill. He kept all that water, and that's called Sankarshan Kund. And it's right in the city of Anyor. Anyor means give me more, because Krishna as Govardhan was asking for more and more and more and more and more food. And there wasn't anything else. And everyone got worried. Is he going to eat us? Then someone had the bright idea of offering him a tulsi leaf, and he was satisfied. Say Krishna, how would we pay? Shri Chaitanya Chandra, say Balarama Sange Shri Nityananda. The original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvip as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared with him as Lord Nityananda. Joy. Sankarshana Karanatoy Shai Garbodashai Chapayodi Shai. Sheshascha yasyamsa kalasa nitya nandakya rama sharanam vamatstu. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarsana, Seshanag, and the Vishnus who lie in the Karan ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and portions of his plenary portions. Okay. So what does it mean, plenary portion? Plenary means on the same plane. They're God. And portions of his plenary portions means when you get into the second quadruple expansion of Vasudeva, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, and it's a portion of a portion, is the third. Vasudeva, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, got it. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami has recorded this verse in his diary to offer his respectful obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This verse also appears as the seventh of the first 14 verses of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Balaram Goshai Mula Sankarsana Pancha Rupa Dari Karena Krishnera Sevana. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarsan. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. Apane Karena Krishna Lilara Sahaiha Shrishti Leela Karya Kare Dara Chari Kaiha. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in four other forms. Ashrichyati Katseva Tanna Agyara Palana Shesharupe Kare Krishnera Vivida Sevana. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna. In the work of creation and the form of Lord Shesh, he serves Krishna in various ways. So purport. According to expert opinion, Balaram is the chief, as the chief of the original quadruple forms, is also the original Sankarsan. Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself into five forms. Maha Sankarsan. Then Karanabdi Shai, Vishnu. Garbo Dakshayi, Dakashayi, Vishnu, Shiro Dakshayi, Vishnu, and Shesha Nag. These five plenary portions are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. In these five forms, Lord Balaram assists Lord Krishna in his activities. The first four of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestations. Ooh. Whereas Shesha is responsible for personal service to the Lord. Shesha is called Ananta or Unlimited because he assists the personality of Godhead in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services. Sri Balaram is the servitory Godhead who serves Lord Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the same servitory Godhead, Balaram, performs the same service to Lord Gauranga by constant association. Let me relate this a little bit to Govardhan. Some devotees worship Govardhan as Haridas Varya, which means the best servant of Hari, and some worship him as Hari. And sometimes there's a conflict between these two different types of persons who worship Govardhan in a different mood. But actually, both things are true. Because Krishna also expands himself, in this particular case, as Balaram, to serve himself. And Krishna can expand himself to serve himself, so he expands himself as Govardhan to serve himself. Krishna also expands himself as the Vivinashas, which is us Prabhu, to serve him. Everything is meant to serve Krishna. All Krishna's expansions of both Shamsa, Vivinansha, Shakti, whatever, are all meant to serve Krishna. So Krishna is the ultimate egotist. Everything is meant to serve him. Everything, in one sense, is him. Everything is created by him. Everything is controlled by him. Everything is known by him. Wow. Can't get further away. Can't get far away from Krishna. Sarva rupe asvadaye Krishna sevananda se balaram gora sangha nichananda. In all the forms he tastes the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. That same Balaram is Lord Nityananda, the companion of Lord Gaura Sundara. Saptama shlokera artha kari chari shloke yati nichananda tatva jane sarva loke. I have explained the seventh verse in four subsequent verses. By these verses, all the world can know the truth about Lord Nityananda. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Sankarsana, in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of, here again, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka far beyond the material creation. This is a verse from Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami's diary. It appears as the eighth of the first 14 verses of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prakritirapara paravyoma name dama Krishna vigraha yeche vibhujyari gunavan. Beyond the material nature lies the realm known as Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. Like Lord Krishna himself, it possesses all transcendental attributes such as six opulences. According to Sankhya philosophy, now Sankhya philosophy, the word Sankhya means to count. In other words, what you do is you enumerate the different material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, the senses, the perceptive senses, the active senses, the objects of the senses, objects of sense pleasure mentioned here. So anyway, the material cosmos is composed of 24 elements, the five gross material elements, that's called Panchamahabhuta, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the three subtle material elements, mind, intelligence, false ego, the five knowledge acquiring senses. I think you know what you're talking. We're talking about now with the nose and eyes. Five active senses. You know, like the hands and the legs, like that. And the five objects of sense, pleasure. That means the objects of your knowledge acquiring senses. That means the form, touch, smell, etc. And the mahatattva. That is the total material energy. Empiric philosophers, unable to go beyond these elements, speculate that anything beyond them must be avyukta, or inexplicable. Avyukta actually means unmanifest. But the world beyond the 24 elements is not inexplicable, for it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita as the eternal Sanatan nature. Beyond the manifested and unmanifested existence of material nature, avyukta, avyukta, is the Sanatana nature, which is called Paravyoma, or the spiritual sky. Since that nature is spiritual in quality, there are no qualitative differences there. Everything there is spiritual. Everything is good. And everything possesses the spiritual form of Sri Krishna himself, Satchitananda. That spiritual sky is the manifested internal potency of Sri Krishna. It is distinct from the material sky manifested by the external potency. We are in the material sky right now. I got news for you. The all-pervading Brahman, composed of the glowing, impersonal glowing rays of Sri Krishna, exists in the spiritual world with the Vaikuntha planets. We can get some idea of that spiritual sky by comparison to the material sky, where the rays of the sun in the material sky can be compared to the Brahma-jyoti, the glowing rays of the personality of Godhead. In the Brahma-jyoti, there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets. Vaikuntha means the spiritual planets, which are spiritual and therefore self-luminous, with a glow many times greater than that of the sun. Wow. Why? Because they're spiritual. The sun is, in one sense, reflecting the energy of the Lord, but it's still material. Actually, I was listening to a class where Prabhupada said that. He said, that's why the soul is much brighter. Even your soul, the individual soul, is millions of times brighter than the sun because it's spiritual effulgence. And you don't see that effulgence because it's covered right now by your selfishness. The personality of God at Sri Krishna has innumerable planetary portions, and the portions of those planetary portions dominate each Vaikuntha planet. In the highest region of the spiritual sky is the planet called Krishna Loka, which is three divisions. Remember we talked about this yesterday? Dwaraka, Mathura, and Goloka or Gokula. Dwaraka means where Krishna gets married, had his married wives, nothing wrong with that. And Goloka is where Krishna has his affairs. To a gross materialist, this kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, is certainly a mystery, but to an ignorant man, everything is a mystery for want of sufficient knowledge. The kingdom of God is not a myth. Even the material planets which float over our heads in the millions and billions are still a mystery to the ignorant. Material scientists are now attempting to penetrate this mystery, and a day may come when the people of this earth will be able to travel in outer space and see the variegatedness of these millions of planets with their own eyes. And every planet there is as much material variegatedness as we find on our own planet. Of course, traveling in outer space is pretty boring. When I was young, I wanted to do that. But what are you going to see? Let's say you are able to go to another planet and you were able to enter into another society on another planet. What are you going to see? I tell you, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Just like people study fish, you know, oceanographers or whatever you call them, people study fish. Fishologists or whatever they are. I don't know the technical name. And what are the fish doing? They're just eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's it. Or people study bugs. I think it's called entomologists or something. And what are the bugs doing? Just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's a realization I had before I came to Krishna consciousness. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I started to travel the world. And I thought I would find advanced culture in Europe. It's a Western perspective. I didn't go to India, didn't have an exciting adventure in India. So I thought, let me go to Europe. So I hitchhiked my way to Europe. No, I didn't hitchhike. I got on a plane, Icelandic Airlines. And I went to Europe. And what did I see there? Eating, sleeping, you know, it's in France, of course, mating and defending. It's the same old, just like different clothes, different names, different language. It's exactly the same thing. That's why they call the interaction between the different sexes, what do they call it? The birds and the bees. That's what it is. Birds and bees. I don't want to be a bird. I don't want to be a bee. Okay, so I wouldn't mind being a bee at Krishna's lotus feet. That would be kind of cool. So, anyway, so even if people could go to other planets, let's say if they could, and they could see the societies there, what are they going to see? People like to go traveling all over the earth planet and see these different cultures, whether it's an Aborigine culture or this culture. Just people just eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Ain't nothing else. I mean, yeah, sure, they got good architecture to eat, sleep, mate, and defend in. But it's all, you know, you just got to look through the veneer of culture, of so-called culture. And you'll just see animals underneath. And that's the way I see things. Just animals. You poor little animals. I actually wrote a song about that when I was in university. Poor little animals locked up in cages. You are unable to be free. You say that you're free, but is it true? You say that no chains, and I forget the words to my song, fetter you, but you are just an animal. So anyway, so this, this planet Earth is but an insignificant spot. Excuse me if I offended anybody. In the cosmic structure, yet foolish men puffed up by a false sense of scientific advancement have concentrated their energy on the pursuit of so-called economic development on this planet, not knowing of the variegated economic facilities available on other planets. According to modern astronomy, the gravity of the moon is different from that of Earth. Therefore, one who goes to the moon will be able to pick up large weights and jump vast distances. In the Ramayana, Hanuman is described as being able to lift huge weights as heavy as hills and jump over the ocean. Modern astrology has confirmed that this is indeed possible. Not astrology, astronomy, sorry. The disease of the modern man, civilized man, is his disbelief of everything in the revealed scriptures. Faithless non-believers cannot make progress in spiritual realization, for they cannot understand the spiritual potency. The small fruit of the banyan contains hundreds of seeds, and each seed is the potency to produce another banyan tree with the potency to produce millions of more of such fruits. This law of understanding, the law of nature, is visible before us, although how it works is beyond our understanding. This is but an insignificant example of the potency of Godhead. There are many similar phenomena that no scientist can explain. Everything, in fact, is inconceivable, for the truth is revealed only to the proper persons. Although there are varieties of personalities from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, all of whom are living beings, their development of knowledge is different. Therefore, we have to gather knowledge from the right source. Indeed, in reality, we can get knowledge only from the Vedic sources, the four Vedas with their supplementary Puranas, Mahabharata, the Ramayana and their corollaries, which are known as Smritis, are all authorized sources of knowledge. If we are at all to gather knowledge, we must gather it from these sources without hesitation. Revealed knowledge may in the beginning be unbelievable because of our paradoxical desire to verify everything with our teeny brains. I know it's tiny. But the speculative means of attaining knowledge is always imperfect. The perfect knowledge propounded in the revealed scriptures is confirmed by the great acharyas who have left ample commentations upon them. None of these acharyas has disbelieved in the shastras. One who disbelieves in the shastras is an atheist, and we should not consult an atheist, however great he may be. A staunch believer in the shastras with all their diversities is the right person from whom to gather real knowledge. Such knowledge may seem inconceivable in the beginning, but when put forward by the proper authority, its meaning is revealed, and then one no longer has any doubts about it. Wow, powerful purport. Okay, so now we're going to allow Champakalata to read text 15. You are officially unmuted.
अनन्तविभु वैकुन्तादि दामा कृष्ण कृष्ण अवतारे रतहानि विश्रामा. That Vaikuntha region is all-pervading, infinite, and supreme. It is the residence of Lord Krishna and his incarnations. Tahara upari bhage Krishna loka khyati Dvarka Mathura Gokula Trividatve Stiti. In the highest region of that spiritual sky is the spiritual planet called Krishna Loka. It has three divisions, Dvarka, Mathura, and Gokula. Sarvopari Shri Gokula Vrajaloka Dhamma Shri Goloka Shweta Dvipa Vrindavana Nama. Shri Gokula, the highest of all, is also called Vraja, Goloka, Shweta Dvipa, and Vrindavan. Sarvaga Ananta Vibhu Krishna Tanu Sama Uparyado Vyapi Ache Nahika Niyama. Like the transcendental body of Lord Krishna, Gokula is all-pervading, infinite, and supreme. It expands both above and below without any restriction. Purport. Sri Jiva Goswami, the great authority and philosopher in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has discussed the abode of Krishna in his Krishna Sandarbha. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord refers to my abode, quote-unquote, my abode. Srila Jiva Goswami, examining the nature of Krishna's abode, refers to the Skanda Purana, which states,
Yayata bhuvi vartante puryo bhagavata priya tastata santi vaikunte tattal lilartam adrita.
The abodes of Godhead in the material world, such as Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula, are facsimiles represented in the abodes of Godhead in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha Dham. The unlimited spiritual atmosphere of that Vaikuntha Dham is far above and beyond the material cosmos. This is confirmed in the Swayambhuva Tantra, in a discussion between Lord Shiva and Parvati regarding the effect of chanting the mantra of 14 syllables. There it is stated,
Nana kalpalata kirnam vaikuntam, vaikuntam vyapakam smaret, adasamyam gunanam cha prakriti sarvakaranam.
While chanting the mantra, one should always remember the spiritual world, which is very extensive and full of desire trees that can yield anything one desires. Below that Vaikuntha region is the potential material energy, which causes the material manifestation. The places of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, such as Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan, eternally and independently exist in Krishna Loka. They are the actual abodes of Lord Krishna, and there is no doubt that they are situated above the material cosmic manifestation. The abode known as Vrindavan or Gokula is also known as Goloka. The Brahma Samhita states that Gokula, the highest region of the kingdom of God, resembles a lotus flower with thousands of petals. The outer portion of that lotus-like planet is a square place known as Shweta Dvipa. In the inner portion of Gokula, there is an elaborate arrangement for Sri Krishna's residence with his eternal associates, such as Nanda and Yashoda. That transcendental abode exists by the energy of Sri Baladev, who is the original whole of Shesha or Ananta. The tantras also confirm this description by stating that the abode of Sri Ananta Deva, a plenary portion of Baladev, is called the Kingdom of God. Vrindavan Dham is the innermost abode within the quadrangular realm of Shweta Dvipa, which lies outside of the boundary of Gokula Vrindavan. According to Jiva Goswami, Vaikuntha is also called Brahmaloka. The Narada Pancharatra, in a statement concerning the mystery of Vijay, describes
Tat sarvopari goloke tatra loko parisvayam viharat paramanandi govindo tulanayaka.
The predominator of the gopis, Govinda, the principal deity of Gokula, always enjoys himself in a place called Goloka, in the topmost part of the spiritual sky. From the authoritative evidence cited by Jiva Goswami, we may conclude that Krishna Loka is the supreme planet in the spiritual sky, which is far beyond the material cosmos. For the enjoyment of transcendental variety, the pastimes of Krishna there have three divisions, And these pastimes are performed in the three abodes, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula. When Krishna descends to this universe, he enjoys the pastimes in places of the same name. These places on earth are non-different from those original abodes, for they are facsimiles of those original holy places in the transcendental world. They are as good as Sri Krishna himself and are equally worshipable. Lord Chaitanya declared that Lord Krishna, who presents himself as the son of the king of Raja, is worshipable, and that Vrindavan Dham is equally worshipable. Brahmande prakasha tara krishnera ichkaya eka iswarupa tara nahi duikaya. That abode is manifested within the material world by the will of Lord Krishna. It is identical to that original Gokula. They are not two different bodies. Purport. The above mentioned dhammas are movable by the omnipotent will of Lord Krishna. When Sri Krishna appears on the face of the earth, he can also make his dhams appear without changing their original structure. One should not discriminate between the dhams on the earth and those in the spiritual sky, thinking those on earth to be material and the original abodes to be spiritual. All of them are spiritual. Only for us, who cannot experience anything beyond matter in our present conditioned state, do the dhams and the Lord himself in his archa form appear before us resembling matter, to give us the facility to see spirit with material eyes. In the beginning, this may be difficult for a neophyte to understand, but in due course, when one is advanced in devotional service, it will be easier, and he will appreciate the Lord's presence in these tangible forms.
Okay, you can end there. So, this is actually quite interesting. So, why is it that when we go, or some people go, to Vrindavan on this earth planet, or Dwarka, or Mathura, they just see material things? That's described by Krishna in the Gita in the Hambrakasha Sarvasha, Yoga Maya Samavrata, that those who are not qualified, Mudavyam, those who are foolish, don't have faith, then what happens is they're covered by this potency called Yoga Maya. And of course, an expansion of Yoga Maya is Mahamaya, Krishna's illusory potency. Just like, in the example I give now will be easy to understand, just like during the day today, the sun was shining. It was shining, but I didn't see it. I didn't see the sun all day long. I was outside. I was looking for the sun. I could not see the sun. Why? Because I was covered by Krishna's illusory potency known by the name of cloud, clouds. The sun was not covered, but I was covered by the clouds. Although I was in the sunshine, but I was covered. So I didn't see the sun. So that's quite an easy example to understand. Someone send a chat. Let's see what they... Please only send chats. My request, personal request, is only send chats. Oh. Yeah, your internet connection is not so good. You can watch it later on. But I think for everybody else, they're able to see properly or hear properly. So I was in the sun and not able to perceive the sun because of the clouds. And tomorrow, hopefully, I'll be able to see the sun. You get rid of the clouds, you're able to see the sun. So the same way, not exactly equal, but in the same way, Krishna puts these clouds in front of our eyes so we may be in the holy dham and we don't see the holy dham. We actually see the veneer covering the holy dham. A veneer is a thin covering that keeps you from seeing the substance that's underneath. I used to use the expression thin veneer, but my teacher got really angry when I used that expression. So I will not offend my teacher anymore. So veneer, a veneer means a thin covering. And so it's like you have a veneer on a desk. When your desk is made of real cheap wood and it looks like the desk is made of good wood, it's just the veneer that looks good, but the wood underneath is pretty bad. So when we go to the Holy Dham, if we are not qualified, we will not see the real form of the Holy Dham. We're just going to see a bunch of monkeys, a bunch of dirt, and everything like that. But the Holy Dham in the material world, actually, it's interesting, Prabhupada said, it's movable. In other words, Krishna can place it anywhere he wants in the material world. That's really cool to understand. It's movable. Just like another example Prabhupada gave, just like an embassy. For example, the United States may have its embassies in different countries, and it can place its embassies in different locales. It can change the place, but inside the embassy, the laws of the United States apply, not the laws of the host country. So if someone, let's say if I was an American citizen and was in Egypt, and I broke the laws of Egypt, then all I would have to do is, if I could, run inside the U.S. Embassy and take shelter. And they wouldn't be able, if it wasn't against the U.S. laws, and they wouldn't be able to take me. I would be safe as long as I stayed inside the U.S. Embassy. So Krishna says the same thing, you know, Aham Tvam Sarvapapayibhyo Moksha Yishyami Masuchaha Sarvadharmam Purichaja. Just come to me. Don't worry. I will protect you. You won't be under the laws of the material nature anymore. Masu Jahan, don't worry. Okay, so these are descriptions of the portable spiritual world which occurs within this world. Whoops. We have about 2 minutes. Maybe I'll just finish this up and not give someone else a chance to read, because we only have about 2 or 3 minutes. So text 20. Chintamani bhumi kalpavriksha mayavana charma chakshe dekaitare prapanchera sama. The land there is touchstone, chintamani, and the forest abound with desire trees. Materialize, see it as an ordinary place, which is what I just described. People see it as an ordinary place. And the problem is when they see it an ordinary place, they make offenses to the residents there. They get angry at the residents. And these residents, even if they appear to be of a different religion, are actually residents of the spiritual world. It's described that when the inhabitants of the heavenly planets look down upon the residents in Jagannath Puri, they see everybody there as having four arms. So even the untouchables. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays to take shelter in, you know, the dust of the feet of the untouchables in the Holy Dham. He prays to take that. So we just take it materially and we commit offenses against these great devotees. Doesn't mean that we should get cheated by them. Like if someone, some great devotee there says, I will sell you a stick of incense for 500 rupees. You shouldn't say, oh, you're a great devotee, we have to go along with you. Just say, no, thank you. By the grace of the Lord, or let's say if you go to Radhakund and someone wants to give you a tour and you know he's going to charge you 1,000 rupees to do it, don't commit an offense and say, oh, you're just trying to cheat me. You just say, no hablo ingles, which means I don't speak English. Sometimes I used to say, I've taken a vow only to chant the holy names. Anyway, but sometimes you actually get caught. Especially at Radhakund, you get caught because some of the pandas there are my friends, and then when I take a group around, they catch us, and then we have to pay the piper. By the grace of the Lord, his dhammas and he himself can all be present simultaneously without losing their original importance. Only when one fully develops an affection and love of Godhead can one see those dhammas in their original appearance. Srila Narottama Das Thakur, a great acharya in the preceptorial line of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has said for our benefit that one can perfectly see the dhammas only when one is completely gives up the mentality of lording it over the material nature. Pretty hard. One's spiritual vision develops proportionately to one's giving up the debased mentality of unnecessarily enjoying matter. Wow. It's proportionate. So you can tell how advanced you are by how much you see the holy Dham. It means how much detached you are from matter. A diseased person who has become diseased because of a certain bad habit must be ready to follow the advice of the physician, and as a natural sequence, he must attempt to give up the cause of the disease. The patient cannot indulge in the bad habit and at the same time expect to be cured by the physician. Modern materialistic civilization, however, is maintaining a diseased atmosphere. The living being is a spiritual spark, as spiritual as the Lord himself. The only difference is that the Lord is great and the living being is small. Qualitatively, they are one, but quantitatively, they are different. Therefore, since the living being is spiritual in constitution, he can be happy only in the spiritual sky, where there are unlimited spiritual spheres called Vaikunthas. A spiritual being conditioned by a material body must therefore try to get rid of his disease instead of developing the cause of the disease. Foolish persons engrossed in their material assets are unnecessarily proud of being leaders of the people, but they ignore the spiritual value of man. Such illusion leaders make plans covering any number of years, but they can hardly make humanity happy in a state conditioned by the threefold miseries inflicted by material nature. One cannot control the laws of nature by any amount of struggling. One must at last be subject to death, nature's ultimate law. Death, birth, old age, and illness are symptoms of the disease condition of the living being. The highest aim of human life should therefore be to get free from these miseries and go back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. Okay? And on that happy note, we'll stop sharing and then allow you to ask some questions about the spiritual world. Because today we heard a lot about the spiritual world. Okay, who wants to ask a question? Ask now or forever hold your peace.
I have a question if no one else has.
Okay, you came first.
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada.
All glories to Prabhupada.
Maharaj, what is the need of saying that Goloka namni nija dhamni talesha tasya, that Golok is the highest and below that is Haridham, below that is Mahesdham, below that, where 18 number sloka is said, it's all pervading, it's everywhere. I'm confused a little bit.
What we say, Goloka eva nivashati akilatma bhuta.
So Golok is top, above all. But here, yeah, according to this, Golok is actually lower, higher, everywhere.
No, it's not on higher. It's not everywhere. The Loka
it says all pervading.
That's Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. Goloka is in a specific location, and Goloka can be transported to a specific location. It's movable. That's what we just read from Prabhupada's purport.
Text 18, it says all pervading, infinite, Gokul.
Yes, it's infinite. Because Krishna is in everyone. Krishna is everywhere. We say, you know, Krishna is everywhere. And so wherever there's Krishna, there's a Goloka, and Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. This is one of those achincha stuff. It's infinite. Yes, that means it goes on infinitely. It goes on infinitely, forever and ever and ever and ever. But we're in a dark corner. Like the spiritual world is infinite. It's all pervading. But in a dark corner of the spiritual world, of that infinite abode, we are here. Even okay. Something, someplace may be infinite, I mean, for example, I'm here in my house, but there's a closet, and the closet is dark because there's no light in the closet. And I'm here in this room talking about Krishna, and in the closet there may be some cockroaches in the dark closet. So my house is everywhere, but the cockroaches are in my dark closet.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry, I don't have cockroaches in my house. That's just a joke or example. So in other words, my house is everywhere, but in the corner of my house, there's darkness and a bunch of cockroaches. So guess what? We're the cockroaches in the corner, in the dark corner of the spiritual world. Does that sound all right?
Yes, thank you.
Everywhere.
I just want to let you know. Your explanation is very relevant to our my level of understanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You are a great devotee. And if you keep praising me enough, maybe I'll start to think I'm a great devotee too. So
you are a great devotee, Maharaj.
Yes, keep saying that. Keep saying that, and then I'll stay in the material world forever, you know.
No.
All right. I think, we have some hands up in the screens now. Like Krishna Priya wants to ask a question. You got to unmute yourself.
Whoops. So what I was reflecting on, we were speaking about, like when you go to Vrindavan, when you're not qualified, you see the external Vrindavan, which, like you said, is covered by the veneer. But I was also wondering if you can explain how, even though one doesn't have the eyes to see, how the Dham could be so potent that someone could come and they just naturally, you'll find, you know, someone who comes and they've had no contact with Krishna consciousness, but being in the Dham, they become inspired, or devotees find that being in the place where Krishna had his pastimes and hearing from the devotees, how they feel enlivened. Can you speak about that?
Yeah, because they're innocent. It's the spiritual atmosphere. The holy Dham is non-different than Vrindavan. I mean, the holy Dham is Vrindavan. There is no difference. So there's an atmosphere there. They can't perceive it directly. Just like sometimes you can feel something as a vibration. Actually, like the modes of nature. Okay, let me give this example. Sometimes a devotee will go home to visit their parents. And when they go home to visit their parents are not following the regulative principles. You know, sometimes that happens. And in America, well, actually in India, it's the same thing. It's not just an American thing. And their consciousness will become like lower, even though they don't want to enter into that mood or whatever is happening there. It's just that somehow they feel themselves getting dragged down because the modes of nature. The modes of nature are actually quite subtle. And they influence one, even if one's not perceived. Even if you keep your eyes closed, your nose closed, your mouth closed, even if you put a bag over your head, you actually feel the difference. And actually, even according to the times of the day, each time of the day has specific modes of nature. For example, I wake up early in the morning. Not that I'm bragging about it. I'm just giving an example. I wake up early in the morning, and I can feel the modes of nature. It's the good mode of goodness, and chanting is so ecstatic. Whereas someone else wakes up at 9 or 10 in the morning, and they just keep wiping their eyes. Huh? And I've seen it. I've seen it with some devotees. And I asked them, why didn't you get up in the morning? They say, I was tired. I was really tired. Well, I'm really tired sometimes too. But anyway, so at different times of the day, there's modes of nature. Different types of food. That's why Krishna, I mentioned that Krishna spends He has more verses on the modes of nature and the material nature in the Bhagavad Gita than he does on any other subject matter, which is really interesting, because these modes are actually a subtle force that influences our consciousness. Why do you think there's so many crazy people in America? People who believe in fake news, you know, real fake news, and they just go crazy, you know. And I'm not going to say MAGA. Anyway, I said it. So because it's a certain modes of nature, they can become, even, I was speaking to some people in Germany who participated with the Nazis during World War II, and they said they were overcome by some energy. And you see these politicians, sometimes, you know, they have their different insignias or acronyms. I'm not going to mention what acronyms I mean. Acronyms or insignias or, you know, salutes like Hail, Heil, like that. And it's the modes of nature just overcome people. So anyway, so getting back to the point, so let's say you go and you stay in a place where people are taking intoxication. Your consciousness gets affected after a while. So apart from the modes of nature, there's the spiritual Vishuddha Sattva, the spiritual mode. So if you go somewhere that's pervaded by Vishuddha Sattva, your consciousness changes. If you listen to music, that's why sometimes we talk to the devotees in the ashram about listening to different types of music. You know, devotees say, well, I really like punk music or funk music or junk music or whatever type of music. And, you know, I said, all right, listen to any damn thing you want, but use your headphones so you don't actually infect the other devotees with your degraded, decrepit, disgusting, gruesome, stool-like consciousness. So,
God, why did I start with this question? Everyone's going to hate me. I really was just talking about the spiritual world.
Yeah, but I'm talking about something related. So it's by sound vibration, the consciousness becomes affected. So there are these subtle forces, you know, whether you're talking about sound or the location that you're at, which really affect your consciousness. It's a fact. I mean, we've all experienced that. I mean, who can deny such a thing like that? So when you go to the Holy Dham, or sorry, you brought me back to the Holy Dham. You know, brought me out of my fanatic Hare Krishna business. So you go to the Holy Dham, and you feel this, like, spirituality. You may not be able to identify it or put your finger on it, but if you're innocent, yes, it'll change you. If you're demoniac, no. If you're an offender, no. But if you're innocent, it can actually change you. And I've seen that with many people. They go to the Holy Dham, and it changes their whole life just by one visit to the Holy Dham. So, yep. So thank you for your question. It got me a chance to talk about something I wanted to talk about. Anyway.
Thank you for your answers.
You know, that's why we like to listen to Krishna conscious music. I mean, everybody's free, you know, they can listen to classical music or whatever type of music they like. But everything in this material world has modes of nature. I mean, I'm just talking about the Bhagavad Gita. This is not some fanatic, you know, old school Hare Krishna sannyasi speaking coming out of the woodwork. Is that every Krishna says these modes of nature are all pervasive. It's not goodness, passion, and ignorance. They're not just my invention. You know, this is not something that using hermeneutics you can actually, you know, decry or put aside. Modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. There's food in the different modes of nature. You know, food that is healthy and like kasha, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, is food in the mode of goodness. I'm making that up. And food that is too spicy, too hot is impassioned. Food that is tasteless, stale, decomposed, putrid, like that, like meat, is in the mode of ignorance. So you have to, that's food or determination of the three modes. You know, you have people who are very determined because they want to be Krishna conscious. That's in the mode of goodness. And you have people who are determined because they want to make a lot of money. That's in the mode of passion. And you have people who procrastinate, putting off for tomorrow what can be done today. Oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. Guru Maharaj is asking me to do too much in one day. It's not practical, like that. So that's mode of ignorance. I mean, don't we have this book, Bhagavad Gita? Is it just something that's just theoretical? Actually, Gopal asked the question, are there people who are determined to procrastinate? That's an interesting question that I never thought about before. Are people determined to procrastinate? I guess it's a habit. I wouldn't use the word determined. I would say that they've gotten in the habit of procrastinating, putting things off for the last minute or putting things off for tomorrow that can be done today. So modes of nature, if we want to be Krishna conscious, just like if you want, I mean, for example, okay, I cook my own boga to offer to Krishna that becomes prasadam. Okay, and I use a knife. And when I use a knife, I don't use a cutting board. So guess what happens to my knife after a while? Does anyone guess? No. It becomes dull because it hits the hard surface. I cut my vegetables inside a sink. I cut them. I'm not going to use a cutting board because they're mushy. I have another reason for that. And so, or I cut them in the air. But after a while, my knife becomes like so dull that I have to hit the vegetable to cut it. So if you don't use the knife properly, example I'm giving, is the knife becomes dull. And your consciousness also can become so dull that it's incredible. And then it's no longer sharp. You know, it's up to you. You want to have sharp Krishna consciousness. No, I don't want a knife sharpener. Someone asked me if they want me to buy me a knife sharpener. I figured out how to sharpen it without a knife sharpener. I am very inventive. So anyway, so if you want your consciousness to be sharp, there's a way to do it. That you hear Krishna conscious stuff in transcendental Vishuddha Sattva, and you do things in Vishuddha Sattva, and then you're so happy. Otherwise, you just, anyway, whatever. Anyway, sorry that I got off on a tangent. You asked a nice question about the Holy Dham, and then I got into the material world. So anyway, so we're going to end now. It's good to end while the getting's good. So, and again, I just want to ask everyone to pray tonight. Please pray before you go to sleep or pray now for the health of my dear godbrother, Jai Pataka Maharaj, who has gotten COVID. And, you know, it's very, very serious because he's taking drugs to help with his transplant that may hurt his immune system. So we ask everybody to pray. I mean, it's really important that we pray for these great devotees because, you know, it's only a few years before all the Prabhupada disciples will be gone. Everybody who came in contact with Prabhupada and was trained up by his divine grace to the Prabhupada. So just pray that this movement will go on in the same enthusiastic way and not just become a management society, you know, that has good, a lot of good managers and a lot of big buildings, and has lost its spirit. So we have to keep the spirit that Prabhupada gave us, the spirit of dynamic preaching and compassion. If we lose that spirit, then we just become mundane. It becomes like Prabhupada said, churchianity or templeianity. So we should just pray that we can maintain that same spirit that Prabhupada trained us up in. So on that happy note, we'll see everybody tomorrow. And tomorrow night, we're going to be speaking about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because tomorrow here in the United States, it's his disappearance day. So tomorrow morning in Bhagavatam class and tomorrow evening at this particular time, I'm going to be speaking about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So thank you very much. All glories to Swami Guru. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.